I promise to give it back without too much damage. Good evening, everybody. As we approach July 4th, you didn't know I was thinking that far ahead, did you?
That's a long ways.
Of course, we've got April 15th. My sermon this evening is not for the faint of heart, and maybe not necessarily for Americans. We were born in blood revolution against established authority. And so we have beat that drum ever since. It is considered part of our understanding of freedom that we get to do that. And if it can be done without bloodshed, that's all the better. But we're going to beat the drum concerning our leaders, whether we like them or not. What if I were to tell you, though, how you treat your leaders in government, how you respond to your leaders in government, is in direct correlation to how you feel about your God? What if that were the case? We are, how many times have I heard this, in very divided times. We are a very divided country. Have been for a while, actually. But the rift is widening, and it becomes more and more obvious. And you don't have to wait till election season to see it. It gets rather intense in terms of the feelings that we have about those who are over us in government. And the language is getting rather raw. Civility is not a term that comes to mind when you think about how people talk about their leaders in government. Not anymore. I don't mind telling you this, I don't think. Got a call a while back from a lady who wanted us to go public with our support of Ukraine. Seriously. And I said, Does this have something to do about Trump? Standing against him? And she says, it sure does. I said, oh, well, that's not for us. Before the conversation was over, though, she said she would be happy if the next assassination attempt succeeded. In fact, she said she's ready for it. She wants it. Intensely. I said, are you serious? She says, I sure am. So, and then I said, well, I suppose we don't have anything else to talk about. No, we don't. Click. Never had a conversation like that with those kinds of feelings so out there. And the church, of course, gets caught up right in the middle of all this. If David Lipscomb were alive, he'd say, well, I told you to stay out of politics. Have nothing to do with it. And none of this would touch you. And I get that. I appreciate that. But his reasoning was, government is inherently evil. Well, that's a problem. Because who created government? God did. God created something inherently evil? That's hard to swallow. That doesn't make much sense. So I can't go along with the foundation for his thinking and for the results of it. Do we need more Christians in government? I say, please. please, get in there. Do what you can. Let the leaven of Christ work in government. That's the way it's supposed to be. When you turn to Revelation's a great book. But when you turn to Romans 13, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. That's pretty straightforward and clear cut. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So it can't be any plainer, folks. How you treat your leaders in government is a direct reflection on what you think about your God and your King, Jesus. What's funny is, it depends on who's in office, doesn't it? I mean, I hear the Republicans now, and I'm one of them. Yeah! Take that, you people! You got to honor who's in there now, don't you? Uh-huh. Yeah, and then you get this tap on the shoulder and saying, how were you about 3 years ago? What'd you have to say about the one who was in then? Well, there's not much good to say about it. And so what's your attitude toward it? You know, facts are one thing. But I don't see that many people waiting to hear about facts, waiting for facts to come out, waiting for everything to be weighed. Before they hear something, maybe an assumption, maybe a surmise, and they immediately jump to the conclusion they want to be the case. Well, of course Biden did that. It's just like him. Well, you know Trump can't be trusted. It's just the way he is. And so on and so forth. Now, again, is this new for America? Not really. It may be new for us, seeing this kind of intensity. But you know, Lincoln was called every name in the book by all kinds of folks, North and South. The ape in the White House was typical. And did they talk about killing Lincoln? Actually, they did a lot. One person stepped up and did it, but it was a fairly common topic of conversation. It's the way we are here in America. But somewhere, somehow, we've got to learn, if you fear God, you will respect the one He has put over you in government. God created government. God created the entire concept of men having dominion over this creation. Remember Genesis 1. It's the way He set it up. Are you going to have a perfect leader? There's only one, and that's Jesus. But since God created earthly government, and since God set it up so that people, men and women, can lead in earthly government. Remember Candace was a queen that the eunuch was working under before he became a Christian, and after he became a Christian, he's still under Queen Candace. And that's Acts 8. So men and women can lead in government. That then means if they're in office, then that must be respected, honored. Appropriately. Barbara and I have talked about this a few times, especially recently. People wanting to jump on hearsay and act like it's factually proven in a court of law. And of course, if it isn't, and it doesn't happen to be true, if you repeat it as if it is true, what are you doing? Lying comes to mind, gossiping comes to mind, slander comes to mind. Now, who's going to go to heaven as a slanderer or a reviler? The term in New King James and Old King James also is reviler. You know, in 1 Corinthians 6, that's a withdrawing offense. If you are a reviler, you are to be withdrawn from. We have to be careful here, folks. We just... we're Americans. Yes, we are, but we're Christians first. The one who has our ultimate allegiance above all else is King Jesus. Always and above all is King Jesus. And then under him, whatever needs to be understood. Now, leaders sin, right? Should they be rebuked when they sin? Well, yes. One of the great responsibilities of the prophets was to get in the leader's face and say, repent, or you will not have God's backing. A very famous fellow who did that was John the Baptist, talking to Herod Antipas. Yes, he got beheaded for it. He sure did. After a long incarceration. But he still did the will of God, didn't he? So we need to be ready to face our leaders. And if we need to tell them, repent, we need to do it. But how do we do that? Do we get in their face and do it self-righteously? Or like we do with everybody else, do we do it with kindness and gentleness, seeking to help bring them to repentance? So, checking your feelings. Checking your feelings. Something's going wrong with our leaders, and we know that. We see that. And you're wanting something done about it. All right, you're the Christian. You get to go see the individual. You get to be face to face with that person. How would you rebuke the leader? How would you do that? We've got to be up for that. You know, we may be called on to do that. We may have an opportunity to do that very thing. How are we going to do it? And is it just as important to do it to the leader of the country as it is to do it to a neighbor? Well, of course it is. Yes, and so, and isn't being fair, even-handed, doesn't that involve all these concepts? You want to make sure you treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Fairly. Even-handed. Gently. All that comes to mind. We need to be very careful when we hear something that seems like it could easily be the truth. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Praying for wisdom, would that be a good idea? Things like that. Well, sure. Of course. And we want the truth to come out. I mean, if somebody's hiding sin and doing terrible things to the country, do we want that to come out so it can be changed? Well, sure. Yes, of course. We can pray for that. But we got to be careful. Just have to be very, very careful. Again, how we treat our leaders is a direct reflection of what we really think about our God. So please keep that in mind. Now please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Government leaders are not the only leaders that are to be respected. What about employers or slave owners? We don't have slave owners now, isn't that wonderful? But we do have employers. And how they are to be treated is very, very important. Verse 18 of 1 Peter 2. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, we endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, that is commendable before God. For to this you are called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So even to tough employers, hard on us, we need to show a gentleness that comes from Christ. Please turn to 1 Peter 5. Verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory which shall not fade away. Now, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, be submissive to your elders. Yea, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. All right. Employers, elders in the church. Their having responsibility over us does not give us a blank check to tear them to pieces every chance we get. Did you hear that? It is our responsibility, on just the opposite. It's our responsibility to make sure they know we are humble toward them, gentle toward them, gracious toward them, understanding the weight of the responsibility that's on them before the Lord. And so we seek to make their job easier and not harder. Well, what if they're really making it hard on me? How am I supposed to handle that? Well, hopefully you heard that. You take it to God. You tell God, this is tough. This hand is heavy. Please, Lord, I need some relief. Would you please take care of this? And then you trust God to take care of it. You trust him to take care of it, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You believe that or you don't? So these are more leaders that need appropriate and proper respect because of their responsibility. Closing it out. And I feel like I have to say this all the time in this type of sermon. We are Americans. That's fact. Who made us Americans? God did. I mean, that's the government he set up. It is a constitutional republic. Being a constitutional republic, we do get to change our leaders as the people determine by lawful votes. Is that okay to vote? Is it okay to vote against your leader? Yes! That's what it means being a part of a republic. Now, if we were a monarchy, that'd be different. If we were in a dictatorship, an absolute dictatorship, that would be different. But we're not there. We're not going to have to worry about that. Other brothers and sisters in the Lord do have to worry about that. We do not. Praise God. We are in a republic. We still have a say as to who will rule over us. But once they get in, are you going to be helpful? Are you going to be hurtful? What will be your attitude toward those who, through your vote, got put into office by God? And let me share one more scripture with you. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. Therefore I exhort first of all. In other words, this is number one on the list. There are things to do. The supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then he emphasizes, for kings and all who are in authority. To this end, that we, the church, may be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. So, we have a responsibility to care for our country. We have a responsibility to be good citizens of the country. We have a very definite responsibility in how we vote. As Christians, we want to be faithful before we go into the voting booth, and we want to be counted faithful by God when we leave. And yes, you can vote sin if you're not careful. And will you have that wrapped around your neck when you leave the voting booth? Well, you most certainly will. God's not going to let you get away with that. Well, I'm not voting for the sin. Well, if you're voting for the person who's promoting the sin, you're voting for the sin. You know, there's no way around it. So, you've got that. But now, once the leaders get in, what is your responsibility then? Tear them to pieces verbally? Or pray for them? Seek to do them good. And if you can help them know the truth, tell them the truth. Yes. All that's involved. And since we're in America, all that could be possible for us. All of that. We want to be ready when the time comes. You want to be ready. To be a faithful minister, a servant, a tool of God in His hands as He works on our leaders to help them be what He has them in there for, which is what? Well, Romans 13, the encouragement for those who do good and the punishment for those who do evil. And that's according to the New Testament, good and evil. That's what God expects. That's what He's looking for. And that's what they have to come across with if they're going to be successful in His eyes. And if they're trying to do that, you don't want to be found fighting Him or her. You don't want to be found hindering that effort to help the good and punish the evil. All right, that's it. How we are to treat our leaders. Important? It's about as important as it can. If you need prayers on your behalf, let's take care of that. If you need to be baptized into Christ, let's take care of that. Come while we stand.
I can hear you. my Savior, Father.